that a lot of us have struggled with at times, and the Bible is full of people that have struggled with this, is hearing the voice of God and knowing that it's the voice of God calling us, and knowing that, what he's saying is from him, and then what we do with that, what we do with that calling. So fact is that we live in the loudest generation in history. There's noise everywhere. Social media, politics, constant notifications popping up on your phones. So many different opinions from people trying to get their names in the media, right? Opinions from people that we don't know, but they make sure that they're very, very loud so that everybody gets to hear their opinions. So it's a very noisy, noisy time right now, and yet many of us struggle to hear the one voice that matters to us most. Okay, God is still calling. The question is not, is God speaking? The real question is, are we listening and are we willing to obey when he calls for us? Scripture makes something very clear. God does not speak merely to inform us. He speaks to transform us. Right? When we hear the word of God, when we hear the voice of God, it's not nearly to necessarily inform us. There's a plan. Something's going on. He's got a plan, and he's going to transform us. Okay, so God calls at unexpected moments. That's the other thing. When you sit and you pray and you pray and you pray, you're not always going to hear the voice of God praying back to you. You're not always going to get that sign from the Lord saying, "Okay, this is what I want to do." There's some people that they do get that, right? They get that when they pray. They get that. We're going to get into Samuel a little bit tonight and talk about Samuel. I mean, he was one of the prophecies that had that. We've got people in this church. Mike is a great example of it. Mike has shared many stories to where he's had a true vision, or he's heard the word of God, and it's come true. The things that he's told, but he doesn't hear it on everything, and it's not always when he asks for it either. Sometimes it just comes up, which is why God uses us that way. So getting into 1 Samuel chapter 3. So verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Okay, so God spoke during a spiritually dry time. When Samuel was a young man here, a boy here, essentially, it was kind of a spiritually, it's scripture tells us it was a spiritually dry time. There wasn't a lot of things going on right there where God was making himself known to people. He spoke when people weren't expecting him to. God often speaks in our ordinary moments and in our quiet sessions, in our quiet seasons. It's when we don't think that anything's going on, right? We think we're doing good, right? We're on cruise control. Life is just going by. And that's when sometimes we hear the voice of God. We hear something from him letting us know that, okay, it's time to get to work. Right? And I think everybody in here probably, or everybody in here should pray that that's something that we get to experience. Right? We want to hear from God. We want God to put us to work. We want to hear his voice. God often speaks when we're serving faithfully and not seeking the spotlight. That's another big one. We talk a lot about different things. We talk about it as part of our leadership team here, right? Is when we're looking at people in our church to step up and to start taking more roles, more responsibilities, to lead a ministry. One of the things we look at is, do they have their house in order? Do they have their life in order before they go off and start teaching other people and start doing things with other people? So it's that same thing, right? It's serving faithfully, not trying to seek spotlight. Everything is God-based, right? We're doing things because of him. So Samuel was unable, or Samuel was available even if he wasn't experienced. It's going to tell us here in a minute. Samuel did not yet know the Lord at this point in time. So verse 4 and 5, it says, "And while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered." Samuel answered, "Here I am." So Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." So this is a you picture this. Samuel's laying down. Eli is not his father, but he's essentially his acting in a in a parental means right now. He's his mentor, right? So he's kind of almost like a father figure to him at this point. So Samuel wakes up from a sleep and he wakes up to Samuel, Samuel. So he runs in and he tells Eli, "Here I am, for you call for me." So, you know, God didn't shout this to the entire nation. He called Samuel by name. This is deeply personal. God knows our name. He knows our situation. He knows what season we're in, right? He knows where we're at. He knows our capability. Sometimes we misinterpret God's voice, right? In Samuel's first prophecy, he thought it was Eli. You know, and going through the scripture, I get back into that. Let me look real quick. Yeah, I do. So Eli, you know, he tells Samuel to go lay back down. Samuel wakes up a little while later to the same voice. Samuel, right? This happens three times. And then the third time when he goes and talks to Eli, Eli tells him a little bit more, which we'll get into here in just a second. But this is obviously Samuel's first prophecy that he had. And this prophecy had to do with Eli and his house, because Eli's sons were heathens. You know, they weren't good kids. And so God was telling Samuel what to tell Eli. It tells us something important, though. Spiritual immaturity doesn't mean God isn't speaking to us, right? Because Samuel didn't have spiritual maturity, right? He didn't know the Lord yet. It means that we're still learning to recognize his voice. You know, thankfully God is patient with all of us learners, because there's been times, I'm sure, that looking back at it, something's happened in my life, I can know that I can turn around and say, yep, God was absolutely in the middle of that, and I had no idea. I may not have even known who God was at the time. I knew the word God, but I didn't know God. So, you know, looking back, there's been many times that God's been, you know, he's done things in our lives that maybe we don't even recognize until after the fact. And then we're very, very thankful for him doing it. Okay. So the right response unlocks revelation. So this is after the third time that Eli told Samuel, go lay back down. He told him, because after the third time, Eli, light bulb clicked for Eli, right? And he's thinking, okay, so I know what's going on. You're hearing from God. So he tells Samuel, next time you go down, if you hear that voice again, you know, you stand up and you say, speak, you know, for your servant here. So verse 10, 1 Samuel 3, verse 10 says, now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Okay, Samuel does not say, speak, Lord, if it's convenient to you. He doesn't say, you know, he doesn't speak, Lord, if I agree. He doesn't speak if it makes sense, right? He trusts. He knows the voice now. He's heard the Lord. He knows to believe this. But your servant hears. So Samuel, in answering that, he came forward to the Lord and said, you know, he surrendered. He surrendered himself to a God that he didn't even really know yet. So, you know, and that's something for every one of us. Another situation where we get into talking about when God calls, getting into to John, and we're going to get into this on Sunday here in a handful of weeks, because this is over in chapter 10 of John, but verses 22 through 30. So I'm going to read through these real quick. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered to them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given me or is given to me is greater than all. Who is giving them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Right? So you notice in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So notice the order he puts this in. My sheep hear my voice. Right? And that's important, because if we don't hear his voice, then it's hard to follow him, right? If we don't hear his voice, I know them. Like I said earlier, he knows us. He knows everything about us, and they follow me. And that's what it takes. It's us hearing his voice, even if that's just through the word, right? And reading the word of God, we hear his voice through that. He knows us, and we follow him. Okay, so hearing is also relational, right? God doesn't speak like a distant announcer at a sporting event, right? It's not like we're sitting in the ball field down there and you hear the announcer over top, and you know, I'm not even going to try to do that one, but you can picture it in your mind. But that's not how God talks to us, right? He speaks like a shepherd. It's personal. It's personal to us. You know, when I hear the word of God, when I hear the voice of God, or Mike hears the voice of God, or George hears the voice of God, if other people are hearing it, then there's some stuff coming, getting ready to happen, I guess. But it's personal, right? He talks to you. He talks to you alone. You can be standing in a crowd of people, and you're the only one that hears the voice of God. You hear that voice of God in your head. People around you aren't going to hear that, because it's personal to us. It's one-on-one for each of us. Although it might be the first time you hear his voice, you recognize a voice that you're very familiar with. Okay, and then we follow that proof, right? We follow the proof of the hearing. Many say that God spoke to me. But Scripture measures hearing by obedience, not emotion. So if you heard the voice of God, what'd you do with it? Right, and that's important, right? If we heard the voice of God, boy, you got to do something with it. I know it'll change your life. Right, if you know that God's talking to you and you don't do something, and you don't do what he's telling you to, then that's a big deal. You know, we've talked a lot about some different things that are going on here at the church, and Mike, I hope you don't mind I keep throwing you under the bus on this, but Mike has said several times I haven't heard God tell me that this is what we need to do, but boy, if I hear that God tells me what to do, what Mike said, you know, everybody else better stay out of the way, because nobody's going to stop me from making sure it happens. So, I mean, that's that. When you know it's the voice of God, you're going to do everything you can to make sure it happens. And if you're unsure, spend time in prayer. You'll hear his voice again, right? Okay, if following doesn't happen, hearing doesn't truly happen. Going back to what I was saying there. Obedience to this, right? This is getting into the obedience side of it. That's the evidence of true listening. Not just do we hear it, but we're listening to it, right? Because the obedience that's going to be behind it. So we're going to get into James here. James 1, 21 through 25. So verse 21 says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive what meekness that implanted word, which is able to save your soul, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. So be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So hearing without obedience is self-destruction, right? It's, we can attend church, we can take notes, we can highlight verses and still deceive ourselves without thinking that we've obeyed, or thinking with, or into thinking we've obeyed. Information leads to transformation, like I said earlier. You know, we talked a lot about this on Sunday nights when we talked about when we're in John, when we talked about like Nicodemus. I always go back to him as a great example. Is smart man when it comes to the Old Testament, but didn't know Jesus initially. But didn't know Jesus. So, you know, you can be very, very smart. You can go to church. You can take notes. You can highlight things. But if you're not listening to the voice of God when he calls, then what are you doing? Okay, God blesses obedience, not just exposure to this. So going back again in that one there, in that same stuff I just read in verse 25, it said, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So blessings do not come from simply hearing the word, hearing his word. Blessings follow your application of what he has spoken to you. Okay, obedience often requires action before truly understanding. And this is true, right? There's times we hear things that we just go forward and we do it. We don't even understand why God has us doing this, but we know that it's God's will and we're going to do it. So Luke 5 tells us a story of Jesus taking Peter, tasking Peter to put his nets back into the water after a long night of poor fishing. You see, Peter was a very, very experienced fisherman, right? We know that. We know Peter was an experienced fisherman. He had the knowledge how to go catch fish. He had the equipment. He had his boat. He had the equipment, nothing like we do today, but he had his equipment to do it, to catch the fish. And at the end that morning, I mean, I'm assuming he was exhausted after a long night of poor fishing. I'm sure he was exhausted. Yet in Luke 5, 4 through 6, Jesus says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Okay, I love what Peter says in verse 5 right here. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Even when we don't know why, even when we're just like, boy, what is it you have planned here? I don't want to say what are you thinking, because that's not really a question, but what is your plan here? Because I don't see it. I haven't seen it, but we will, right? He will show it to us. Obedience says nevertheless, right? If we're being obedient to the Lord, nevertheless is a very, very good word to use. Nevertheless, I'll forgive when I've been hurt. Nevertheless, I'll step out even when I'm scared. Nevertheless, I'll trust even though I don't understand his plan. Obedience doesn't always wait for clarity. It trusts the caller, right? It trusts the caller. It trusts the God. It trusts our God. Obedience unlocks God-sized results. You know, in verse 6 there I just read, and when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their nets were breaking. The miracle didn't come from Peter's experience. It didn't come from his knowledge of fishing. He proved that the night before. Right, but it came from his obedience to listening to the voice of Jesus. Okay, and I'm going to get into one more example here is how delaying or partial obedience is still considered disobedience. So we're going to talk about Jonah a little bit. So Jonah 1, verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. I even put it here with a little so I could pronunciate it. I'm failing. Tarshish. So he paid the fare and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. See, God said go and Noah said no. Right? Noah heard God clearly but ran away from it. You can hear God and still resist him. Right? And that's something none of us want that. We all want to do what God's asking us to do, what he's calling us to do. Disobeying obedience often leads to detours in our lives, to discipline, to unnecessary storms that we're going to have to fight, and we're going to have to weather some unnecessary storms if we're not. And I'm not going to say that if you listen to the Lord that you're going to not have storms in your life. Right? But I can guarantee you if you're not, if God tells you, speaks to you, and you're not listening to him, there's going to be a storm coming. Because he's going to make sure that we do listen, and that's the way, you know, sometimes we as people learn the hard way, the very hard way sometimes. God's call is too important to postpone. You want to come up? So going back through this a little bit, how do we position ourselves to listen and to obey? Some of the things that I found in here that I liked was create space for God. He's worth it. Create space for God. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Create space for him. Surrender your will. Luke 22, verse 42. Not my will, but yours be done. That's a hard one sometimes. That's a hard one to put aside your hopes and your dreams and your wishes. But your will be done. His will be done. Respond quickly. Hebrews 3:15. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Don't sit on it. If you hear his voice, don't question. Don't sit on it. Don't wait on it. Respond quickly to it. You'll be thankful that you did. Lastly, act in faith. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, or 5 through 6. You know, it goes on to tell us, or 5, 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That one is that ties into not your will, but not my will, but yours be done. It's a lot of the same stuff there. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. So God is calling, right? God is absolutely calling every one of us. Whether you're hearing the audible voice of God, or he's working in your life, or he's working in your family, he's working in those around you, God is calling. He's calling some of us to repent. He's calling some of us to forgive. He's calling some of us to step out. Step out and step away from our fears. He's calling some people to come home. He's calling some people to serve. Right? We've got a lot of people in this church that have been stepping up lately and getting more involved and trying to lead things like men's group and helping out with women's groups and doing those things and getting more involved. So stepping out to serve. He's calling some people to serve. If he's calling you to serve, you got to listen to that. You won't regret it. He's calling some of us to let go. To let go of those things that are in our past. To let go of those things that are distractions between us and our Lord. They're barriers, right? Those things that every time they come into our life, we take our eyes off of the Lord. So God is calling us. The voice of God is not just something to admire, is something to obey. In Luke 6:46, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" If he's the Lord of all, he's the Lord over all, right? He's over our lives. He's got to be. What has God already spoken to you? What things have you not yet obeyed? I think we've all got stuff in there. We've all got stuff that we can spend some time with God. We can spend some one-on-one time, because that's what it's about. It's about that one-on-one personal time with him. And asking, you know, what is it, God? What is it that I've missed? What is it that you've called me for and I didn't hear you? Please come and tell me again. I'm ready to listen. Use me. Use me to build your kingdom. To help save parts of this world. You know, we've talked about, you know, the Legion, right? And I know it's Legion's, he was so full of demons, right? A legion of demons, that when Jesus cast those demons out of him and put him in the pigs, Legion wanted to go and be part of Jesus' disciple team, and Jesus was like, "Whoa, whoa, I've got other plans for you." 10 cities in the Decapolis area were saved because of that one man full of all those demons that Jesus said, "Hey, I've got other plans for you." Jesus knew him. He knew what he could do. He knew what was going to happen because of that. So is that us? Right? Is that us tonight? There's only one way to know, and that's one-on-one with God. So Father God, we just thank you tonight, Lord. We thank you for everything that it is that you provided, Lord. We thank you for this building that you let us come in here, Lord. This house that belongs to you, Lord God, that you let us that we get to come in here freely and to celebrate who you are and learn more and more about what you've done in our lives and learn what it is that you have planned for us through our one-on-one time listening with you, Lord. We thank you for the people that you've brought into this building, Lord, for the people that you've put into this community and into this church that we have, Lord, that are just continuing to build each other up, Lord, and it's not tearing each other down, it's not competitions, Lord, but it's building each other up so that we have that strength, so that we're not afraid to step out, even when we're scared, Lord, that we're not afraid to step out and do what it is that we know that you're calling us to do. So we thank you for that, Lord God. So we just continue to pray for healing for those that are sick, for those that are healing. Continue to make them whole, Lord. Help them to come here so that they can have wonderful testimonies. Testimonies like Chris had tonight, talking about Harry, Lord. And although he's not home yet, he's stepping in the right direction, Lord. So we're excited to hear those testimonies as you heal them, Lord. And you continue to heal him and get him back into this church so he can tell us all about what you did in his life through this, Lord, what he's learned from it. So we thank you. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the credit for everything that happens inside this walls, these walls, and even everything outside of these walls, Lord. We just love you. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. These altars are open. If you need to come up and you want to spend some